evening and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman Show. If you caught it last week, have a nice lie down and try to put it out of your mind. After an hour of this, your little troubles won't seem half so bad. And in a program thrown up from the very pit of poor taste, I was going to read to you from my forthcoming book, Conquering the Unknown. I don't know where it is just at the moment. So instead, another great do-it-yourself spot and our regular features, including Hilly's Hot Gossip, Great Moments in British History, and, of course, the fabulous Super Quiz with its amazing bumper prize. And if all that wasn't enough for you, here's Alison Moyet from her latest album, leastways it's the latest one I've got, Rain Dancing, and You Got Me Wrong This Time. Well, I suppose I might have done it.
Something I should know. It would help if you explain what's going on. Could you help me understand just what it is that you accuse me of? 'Cause from the moment that I wake up, you're watching every move I make. You got me wrong this time.
You got me wrong.
You got me wrong this. Until I get it right, and can anybody play?
this week's do-it-yourself spot was going to be on nutrition and diet. And actually, that's a rather boring subject, and if you're still alive and fairly healthy, you must be doing something right. So have another hamburger and listen to attention. Tonight we look at psychiatry, a far more entertaining subject, a great excuse to get about and meet people with many more interesting problems than your own. Yes, nothing gives you a more godlike power over other of your fellow creatures than poking about in their sacred thoughts and fascinating fixations. But where do you start? How do you acquire the steady gaze and the authoritative demeanour so vital for your practice? What makes you think that you aren't crazier than your patients anyway? Stay with us now as we explore the wacky world of Freud and Jung, that well-known duo of cuckoo collectors, and in this week's bumper helping of do-it-yourself head shrinking, we'll go completely into the top.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head.
Okay. Oh, that's quite enough of that. Take him away, nurse.
Come, Harvard booby, come, beat booby.
Hey! Hey, well, you put me down. What do you think you're doing, woman?
Good boy.
Oh, you're such a big woman. Oh, where did you get those shoes? Theo, help!
Don't worry, Theo. We take good care of him.
Physician.
The people's rest. They're watching every move we make. We're all included on their list.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics have taken over the asylum.
Go nuclear, the cowboy told us. To disagree, cause when the madman flicks a switch, the nuclear will go for me.
Of starvation, but I just cannot see the point. Cause there's so much food here today that no one wants to take away.
Lesson one in how to become a psychiatrist. In order to practice psychiatry, we must first determine what is sane and what is insane. A difficult philosophical blockbuster, if ever there was one. Since no real yardstick for normality exists, we can only judge by our own perception of what is acceptable behavior socially. Okay, if you aren't totally wacko yourself, not so good if you sleep upside down in a cupboard and live on a diet of raw worms. Since this concept is in itself beyond the scope of a radio program and the desire to be a psychiatrist does imply a degree of mental instability, it may be best to just assume that we are normal and judge the patients as either more or less normal than we are. So, how do we spot a loony? Well, over now to our resident psychiatric expert, Boris Doppelganger.
All right, off you go.
Dixie Town! I'm on a choo-choo back to Dixie Town! Back to them cotton fields on homeward bound! To that mammy mine! She's waiting at the station on that Mason-Dixon line! A whippoorwill! A whipping gently round that moonshine still!
All right.
Oh, baby, mammy, honey, suckle fine! She's knowing all
what to tell. Yes, here we go, come along now, there's a good
mammy,
boy!
A human
you've
mammy.
Done it before,
you
now you've done
mammy.
It again! Take
mammy,
them off! Come along,
oh.
Take them off!
Well, mostly real nutcases do tend to stand out a bit in a crowd. Look for dead giveaways like wearing the trousers on the head or imitating Space Invader machines. Some loonies are only half crazy. These are called schizophrenics. Much harder to spot since when they aren't busy burying axes in people's heads, then they tend to be quite reasonable. The hardest ones to spot are the introspective sort, the ones that have secret fixations and what have you. They might go for months without doing anything weird, and then suddenly throw off all their clothes and sexually assault a tree. The best thing is to open an office and hang a sign outside saying, "Psychiatrist, open 10 till 4," rather than just wandering about trying to entice them in there. There's something undignified about picking up loonies in the street. Listen out for lesson 2 just shortly. Welcome to Lesson 2 in Do-It-Yourself Psychiatry. Well, having found a nice little office somewhere and hung our sign outside, we must assemble our props. Firstly, the office should be comfortably small for dealing with agoraphobes and fairly spacious for the occasional claustrophobe. We need a nice big desk to sit on. The patient must have a nice low chair so that he automatically looks up to you. The decor should be plain and the walls smothered in impressive-looking diplomas. Other than that, they should be unornamented so that the patient's attention doesn't wander from its focal point. You. The window must have blinds which should be drawn closed, and in the centre of the ceiling there should hang a tasteless lampshade directly over your main tool of trade, the comfy couch. Little attention should be paid to your personal attire. Suits should be shapeless, baggy and unfashionable. Ties should be dull, stained and knotted at some point just off centre. Shoes should be brown, scuffed, brogues and preferably trailing their laces. A psychiatrist should not be a snappy dresser. He should look lived in, comfortable, and even a little threadbare. This provides the notion that no matter how untogether the patient is, there is at least one other person who is more so. This gives him a great mental boost and allows him to relax enough to make meaningful conversation. We'll return just shortly and explain the analytical process in detail. Please just sit quietly and let your mind go completely blank. I want you to go back to your childhood.
Gotta get some food, I'm so hungry all the time. Some sleep, I'm so nervous in the night, and I don't know how to stop. 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 I gotta pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Welcome to Lesson 3 in Do-It-Yourself Psychiatry. And in Lesson 3, we look at the analytical process itself. Firstly, make the patient as comfortable as possible on the couch. And if the patient's totally loopy and insists on hanging from the doorframe by his feet, I would suggest you drop the next bit altogether and just go straight on to Lesson 4. But assuming a degree of cooperation, lie him down and let's get cracking. Well, it shouldn't take you long to discover that a psychiatrist's job is not too hard, since most of it involves just listening to some rather odd ramblings and nodding sagely. Since all problems are sexual in nature, you might think that this would be rather exciting. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's usually mixed up with all kinds of dreadful guilt and frustrated wish fulfillment, not at all juicy or interesting. Quite often, you have to dig all through all kinds of nonsense just to get to the sexy bits. And when you do, it's really not worth the trouble. Some of you at this point may be asking yourself, well, what the hell's all this sex business about anyway? It's quite simple, really. Psychiatry was invented by a total pervy, and since you can't get qualified without reading all his books, and since everyone else in the business has read them too, you'd probably be horribly ragged if you didn't just go along with it. You see, everyone would think you weren't a proper psychiatrist or something. Anyway, as I was. The idea is to get the patient to talk, but you must avoid talking yourself. Don't get drawn into a conversation, and on no account answer any of the patient's questions yourself. Should the patient ask a direct question, repeat it back to him as an answer. Done skillfully, this technique creates a great impression. Now, for an example of this, in action, let's listen to our resident expert, Boris Doppelganger, on the couch.
Hello, Mr. Smith. Tell me, why have you come here today?
I'm depressed.
You're depressed?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, I'm not sure.
So, you're not sure?
Well,
Do you have any interesting sexual problems?
Tons of them, really.
Tons of them?
Well, can you actually help?
When you say, actually help, mm-hmm. What do you really mean?
Well, I mean help, actually.
Please go on.
Well, actually, I seem to have lost my thread a bit.
Does losing your thread bother you?
Yeah.
Is that why you came to see me?
Well, actually, I'm not sure.
Let's just get back to the sexual problems, then.
I don't want to.
Is that why you're depressed?
No, I don't think so, no.
You don't think so?
Look, if you don't stop repeating me, I'm going to kill myself.
You're going to kill yourself?
Yes, I've got a gun, look.
Do you think that having a gun helps your sexual problem?
Forget the sexual problem. I'm depressed. I need help.
What makes you think you're depressed?
Oh, this...
Thank you. talk about the boy saying to the girl, golly baby, I'm a lucky cat. Talk about the girl saying to the boy, you and me are lucky to be. Talk about things you'd like to do. You've got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you gonna make a dream come true? And if you don't talk happy and you never have a dream, then you'll never have a dream come true.
Now to lesson 4 in do-it-yourself psychiatric practice. Suppose that we want to cure someone rather than just copping a whopping great fee to listen to the demented ravings of a sexually frustrated pervy. Well, if talking it out doesn't work, the real professional has a whole armory of second strings to his bow. To mix a metaphor or two. Firstly, there's our trusty friend, the pharmacist, who, with the right prescription, can easily bomb the finest mind into total submission, with uppers for depressants, downers for manics, sleepers for insomniacs, and a few real kill-or-cures for the hopeless cases. None of these affect cure, but most of them will reduce our little cuckoos into walking vegetables for long enough to give the relatives a decent night's sleep. Not all psychiatrists agree on the chemical answer, and you'll be happy to know that science has two last-ditch stands. Firstly, ECT. To simplify ECT, it's little more than a few thousand volts of electricity zapped into the brain box, which usually renders the patient sensible for months at a time, mostly out of fear of further treatment. Secondly, when all else fails, brain surgery. In the case of dangerously violent loonies, a prefrontal lobotomy is often the only answer. Just whip off the top of the skull, grab hold of the brain, pull it upwards, fish around just behind the eyes, and locate the frontal lobe. A couple of quick snips and Bob's your cabbage, so to speak. Well, that about wraps it up for psychiatry. In another program, we'll take a deeper look at brain surgery itself and some of the harder jobs that can be done in and around the skull.
It's wonderful, Dr. Edelman. What you've done would ordinarily mean an operation of the most delicate nature. This way, the dangers of surgery didn't even exist.
We can expect some nervous shock. Must be kept quiet. Any exertion might undo everything I hope we've accomplished.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. Day down. The telex machine is kept so clean and it types to a waiting world. A mother feels so shocked, father's world is rocked, and the thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't a peachy keen. Now it ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need?
Tell me why.
Today is how to die. And then the bullhorn crackles and the captain tackles with the problems in the house and wife. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to die, die, oh, oh. And the silicon chip inside a head gets switched to overload. Nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. Why, Lisa, do you need to be sure?
Tell me why.
Do you know where you are, Winston?
I don't know. I can guess. In the Ministry of Love.
Do you know how long you've been here?
No. Weeks? Months?
Do you know why you're here? Shall I tell you why we brought you here? To cure you. To make you sane. That was 40. You can see that the numbers on this dial run up to 100. Will you please remember that during our conversation I have it in my power to inflict pain on you at any time? And in whatever degree I choose.
Yeah.
He thinks he murdered his father. When it's I who killed him. She come here now. Flesh and blood, not wax like you. And he shall be shut up in the house where they keep the mad. Aye, Gogol, who will do that? He shall be shut up when it's I who am mad. But nobody knows that, excepting you and me. It's our little secret. And now, I shall pray to you for the last time.
Quite a simple quiz for you this week. Almost too simple, really. There's a man who discovers quite disgustingly that he can make one cigarette out of seven cigarette ends, and he's going on holiday, during which he imagines he's going to smoke 400 cigarettes. How many should he take with him? Bearing in mind, he can make one cigarette from seven cigarette ends. There we go. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Greasy House, Tarbridge Road, London, SE14SL is the address to send your answer to, and the winner will receive an absolutely super prize. In fact, everybody who gets the answer right gets a super prize. How about that? That's really magnanimous, isn't it? Oh, it's not that bad.
die diddly eye, die, die, die.
Okay, okay. Oh, oh, that's quite enough of that. Take him away, nurse.
Time now for the Sunday Marin, so let's get it on. I was tiling my bathroom only the other day, something I don't often do, but I felt the creative urge. Well, some weeks ago, I'd bought some tiles from Smith's Do-It-All, and oddly enough, when I went back to get some more, there was a big blank space on the shelf where they used to be. On inquiring from the management where these items were, I was told they'd never stocked them. Never. Never in that colour, never in that size, never in that pattern. Good grief, no. I was surprised by this. Further investigation revealed that the line had been discontinued. Discontinued! Why in God's name didn't they put a whacking great sign over the top of them when I first bought them saying, warning, this line is going to be discontinued before you finished your bathroom. Then I wouldn't have even started with those tiles. Oh, it's infuriating. It's so infuriating I could almost burst a gusset. Oh well. I'll go quietly to sleep now.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip. In the outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip. When they ask
time now for great moments in British history. This week, the discovery of gravity. Nice one, Sir Isaac. Well, if anyone can follow that, then Hilly can. And here she is with this week's bumper selection of gossip gathered from London, the home counties, and even abroad.
Disappointed this year at the lack of good fireworks displays. The British just don't know how to make things go with a bang. And I'm really fed up with hearing all about the pop celebrity parties. I wouldn't even try to gatecrash such a sickeningly self-congratulatory event. Who cares about how much they all drink and who dances with who? When really, the next minute, they are living in fear of drugs gangs kidnapping their families and suing the hell out of each other for various libels. Double standards abounding. Elton John has been on every other page of the Sun newspaper this week. First of all, we saw Stephen Hardy confess how the sex scandal involving gay young boys and cocaine parties was all a pack of lies. Then he saw fit to pay £7,500 to charity just to stop his wife from singing. I know a lot of people who would have paid a lot more to stop Elton singing himself. Jimmy Somerville spoils yet another Gloria Gaynor song. Never can say goodbye. Well, I wish he would. I mean, who wants to hear a peeled potato being boiled alive, which is just what his falsetto voice sounds like. We all know he takes helium tablets anyway, to make his voice go an octave higher than it really is. I hear he's been offered a part in a Smith's Crisps advert. What else can you expect with a head shaped like a potato? Maurice B.G. Gibb has talked for the first time about the fear gripping his family since his wife discovered an armed drugs gang in their luxury Miami Beach bungalow they rented out to unknown tenants a year ago. I don't know when this nightmare will end, says the bold, aging pop star, who has hired security guards in fear of attack from the remaining members of the drugs ring, still at large. Honestly, some people will go to any lengths just to get a part in Miami Vice, or is it just a gimmick to promote sales of his dopey record? Rumour has it that Madonna is expecting. News to Mr. Penn, who has just got out of jail. Tony Blackburn has said if he gets fired, then he will start his own pirate radio station in Crystal Palace. Well, we certainly wouldn't have him here on clockwork. I've just been reliably informed as to how the Pet Shop Boys got their name. Something to do with putting hamsters in rude places. A matter, I think, for the RSPCA, not us.
Thanks, Hilly. That was disgusting.
Luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
In tonight's mentally tiring episode, you can't really do that with a hamster, can you? Terry Superbrain Anderson played the disc jockey, the intrepid birdman played the fool, Lance Boyle played the fiddle while the cat burned. Alex Wright and Busby Barclay were both at the pictures, and this programme was compiled, collated and hung out to dry by the Clockwork Wireless Company, which returns for a second helping at 7 o'clock next Sunday on 90 MHz VHF. You can write to us at Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Towerbridge Road, London SE1 4SL, but get on with it now, will you?
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet
Say goodbye, Ovaltinis.
Another happy Ovaltinis. Thank you, all I do. And don't forget your Ovaltine. It's very good for you. And we'll be here again next Sunday with songs and stories new. And so until we meet again, the Ovaltinis bid you all.
Not forgetting Hilly.